He's going to share his experience, strength, and hope on sponsorship and the importance of home group. With that, I give you Mike.
If you guys wouldn't mind praying for any prayer with me, appreciate it. God,
bring me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference.
This weekend has just been, it's been amazing. We had a little get together last night, and I talked to with a couple of fellows, and it was like a family reunion. There was children running around, and people playing cornhole and kids swimming and folks talking about, you know, times past and so forth. It literally felt like a family reunion. They wouldn't tell me the topic. I tried to get out of doing this, and my home group unanimously voted against me for this. So I didn't think we had time and schedule to do it. And then they wouldn't tell me my topic. And I said, well, the other folks had their topic for a while. Why can't I have mine? And they waited till this Tuesday to give my topic. So I'm pretty nervous following Gary. I listen to Gary online quite a bit, and they're like, and Jack and all these guys are my heroes. And to hear the stories between Gary and Gail and talk about the old-timers and the history and the concerns that they have, I just feel like a little part of, a big hole. I guess that's good. My experience, just try to keep it brief, we're running out of time here. My experience with sponsorship and the importance of a home group, I guess I got the same story as a lot of folks where I came in, I got sober in an abandoned basement. I begged God to help me, and immediately something happened inside of me, a change. I didn't mean to come to Alcoholics Anonymous, but this is where I ended up. And I got a sponsor immediately, and the sponsorship. And not the bad mouth, but you're on step one, and just think about that for a while, and things like that. And I did it, and it was working for me. But about 6 months sober, everything in my life just I was losing my mind. And I knew from experience before that I wasn't going to make it long. So probably about 6 months sober, which isn't a very long time anyway. But about 4 months sober, I was talked into coming to a workshop, and came to a workshop at 4 months sober, and that's where I met Jack and a few other folks. And my first impression was, this is too much AA. They're doing too much here. And so I came back one more time because I didn't want them not to like me. And then I just quit and I left. And then 2 months later, which was about 6 months, I needed help bad. And I needed to go where there was too much AA. I needed all I could get. And like you heard Gary talk about today, word for word, line for line, right out of the big book. And that's what we did. I asked Jack to sponsor me, and that's exactly what he did. He took me through the big book, page for page, line for line, and it changed my life. It changed my life dramatically. I start sponsoring pretty soon. One of the things I remember is I would go out to the treatment center, and Jack said, the conflict of scheduling. And he said, why don't you go back to the treatment center and try to help when you have a little bit more to offer? Wouldn't that be the way to go? And I said, yeah, that makes sense. So my first sponsee, if you want to call it that, I started sponsoring about 4 months sober, and I would take the bus to meet him, and he was doing real good, and I was sharing my experience, what little it was at the time. And he got a job, and he got a car, and his license, and he was making more money than me. I mean, not that I was sober for a great deal of time anyway, but he wouldn't write a four step. And I knew the importance of it because I had written some inventory a brief inventory, and I did have a major experience with inventory, fifth step, and making amends. Small. As far as time, but the quality of the sobriety, I mean, my life was changing rapidly. And he wouldn't write a four step, so I tricked him into coming over to my house, and I locked him in my house and tried to get him. I'm trying to make him do it. He didn't do it anyway. And That's my experience. And the thought behind that is, man, I've been given such a gift that I know if you do this, it'll work for you too. And you won't, you don't, and I'm just so new, I just don't know any better. I got to make you do it somehow. And if you do it, it's going to work. And he still, it doesn't. His name was Ian, and he never made it. He's in the penitentiary serving a pretty good time now. And he just never was able to, I don't know, it's a gift. Went through the workshop, page for page, line for line, learned how we do the things that Gary was talking about. And it, just like he said, it's real simple. It's right in there. And but it's a foreign language to a lot of the people. And I heard guys on tape say, there's a difference between the spirit of the fellowship and the fellowship of the spirit. And the difference is the people who do the work. And I have a camaraderie. There's a, like last night at the cookout, it was a family. It was a fellowship of the spirit that some of us had never met before, but it was a family reunion, probably the only family reunion experience that I have in my life. It certainly was. How could you not love somebody who comes to you and asks for help? I think when someone comes to me and asks for help, maybe I'm just so new at it that I haven't learned enough lessons and I haven't gotten knocked around enough. But when someone asks me for help, I just feel it is such an honor, and I'm so grateful, and I get excited for them. My life, like I said, I got sober in an abandoned basement, and my life rapidly changed up until this day. Up till today. A lot of guys, you know, can't make them do anything. I learned that with Ian, and I beg them and try to get them to do things, and you can see things in their life, and sometimes they got to learn themselves, and that's the, I think that's the hardest part for me for sponsoring somebody and trying to take them through the work and taking them through the book. And on the other hand, I've sat with guys in my living room and read them the book and watched their eyes brighten up and watch them almost come to life right before me. And the miracle in that is beyond any words that I could articulate. When I asked Jack to sponsor me, he gave me two things. Are you willing to go through a workshop? And are you willing to facilitate a workshop? And I said, I'll do anything that you tell me to do. The desperation that Gary talked about, I had it. And I went through that workshop, and I did whatever I was supposed to do, and my life changed. So, I don't know, I did a few more. I was asked to do a couple other people's workshops, and then I started facilitating workshops. And my first workshop I did was in my living room, like they used to do. It was in my dining room. Coffee and cake or whatever leftovers we had, we put them out. And, that first workshop, no one stayed. They made it to the fourth step. We made it to the fourth step, and it was over. No one stayed. And then the room was open at St. Thomas Hospital, and I started doing a workshop there. And but I learned so much from reading the book to somebody else and answering their questions and trying to look inside of myself for an experience to the question that they're answering, so that I'm just not giving them something out of nowhere. My life was dramatically changed by that. And then the second workshop, I think one person, and it was a woman. She stayed, and I think she stayed because she liked me. So. I have sponsored a few women. That just didn't work out very well because either they liked me or I liked them. And so I quit doing that. And my third workshop, I sponsor a whole bunch of guys right now. I sponsor a lot of fellas. And each and every single one of them are individuals. They got a fingerprint. It's different from everybody else's. We do have a disease, and we're not unique in that way. But how someone receives it, I find for myself, could be two different things. Inevitably, my suggestion to them would be to be in a workshop. And I sponsor so many guys, it's easier for me to get them all together. And what happens as a result of that is they become a brotherhood. They become a tight-knit family that I get to be a part of that's powerful. And then you hear them talk about going to get an ice cream and stuff like that. We do that, but we go fishing or we go hunting or we go out to eat. I mean, we do these things that you hear, you heard Gary talking about, I heard Gail talking about last night. A brotherhood that when I was on a fishing trip in March, walleye fishing trip, and I got a phone call from the paramedics, and they said that one of my guys, they had him in the ambulance. He had overdosed. He had been secretly sneak using, sneak drinking, and he almost died. And the pain, the hurt, the sorrow that you get from that, you love them. And you don't want to see no one hurt. We left our fishing trip and came back home and to be with that guy, and he's doing great today. Back in the book, doing what he's supposed to do. I got other guys that, you know, they just come and they just do anything you tell them to do. I mean, every single thing. It's kind of weird when you get a guy like that because it's almost like something's not right here. And but even them, even those guys are, I think I actually, it's not that I'm closer to any of them more than the rest, but it's just different in every single way. So my experience with sponsorship is I can't transmit something I don't have, and I only know one way. I know the way that I was sponsored. I know from trying to come in the program before and guys taking me through, you know, you're on step one. You think about it for a week, and it didn't work. So how dare I tell somebody else to do that because I'm too busy, because I got stuff going on. How dare I do that to one of my fellows? I can't do it. So whatever the sacrifice is, someone made it for me, so I feel like I am responsible to do that for someone else. The last workshop that I facilitated was about 80-some people that came to it, and I had no idea at all that it was going to be that many people, and it scared the crap out of me. I walked into the room, and there was just the room was too small for the workshop, and it just. But then my next thought was, well, wait till we get to the fourth step, and we'll see how many people's left. And it surely thinned down. But what the magic in that, the power of God, and to see God in other people, start from the beginning of the book, start working through steps, just like the book talks about. And you get to see them transform into whole other people. It's a miracle. It's a powerful thing that we've been given. It's a powerful thing, a gift that the Father do with the works. It's got nothing to do with me. I don't believe that I'm special in no certain way. I believe that I'm blessed to have somebody else have taught me the way that I could teach that, and I'm accountable for that. I think God blesses sponsorship. When somebody asks me something that I don't know about, I say a prayer, or I call somebody else who does know. Just to tie these two things together, value the importance of a home group. We started a home group here. It's in that back room over there on Tuesday nights. You heard Dusty mention it. We heard so little about traditions and concepts. And it steps out of the book isn't very popular too much either. So we do that. Our home group sponsors those workshops. Our home group also sponsors a meeting in a home for homeless folks and with all kind of different disabilities and issues. So we do those. That's on Sunday night and our workshops on Wednesday nights. And our format of our meeting is, depending on what month it is, like this month would be August, it would be the eighth month. So we do step eight, tradition eight, concept eight, chairperson's choice pertaining to the big book. It's got to be, you can't bring a topic, it's got to be from the big book. So we are primary purpose in that way. And when we first started, we ran into some learning, growing pains, some trials and tribulations, if you want to call it. I'm the secretary of that meeting. The reason I am the secretary of that meeting is because our secretary decided to chair another meeting at the same time as that meeting, and we told him that you're the secretary. You need this is a commitment, and you need to be here. Well, he didn't like it, and he got really upset about that. And that's another thing I see a lot of is the power of the approval of others versus principle and the things that we learn here, the things that we get taught by doing the work out of the book. So we lost our secretary, and I became the secretary that way. And I remember it was just me and Dusty and a few other people who would just come. We were the home group, Dusty and I. And I remember being at a home group meeting. It was me, Dusty, and someone who had just signed the book. And one of the questions was, how do we make our meeting grow? What do we got to do? And we talked about it, and we group conscioused it, and we had to come up with a couple things. One thing was, well, we can compromise the integrity of what we know and strive for the approval of others, and everybody and anybody, and everybody's going to come here. And they're going to be all kinds of different frolicking and so forth and so on, but our meeting will be popular. We could do it that way, or we could keep it spiritual, and we can just let God do it. So that's what we did. We decided to go with the spiritual, and since then, I think we've got about 15 home group members. This is probably about in a year's time. We've got 15 home group members. The attendance has gone up, and you heard Gail and Harm today talk about traditions and concepts. Our format is to get a speaker to come in and talk about concept eight. And the difficulty in finding a speaker to come in and share their experience with concept eight and bring a topic for that so that we can put it into our practical application for our life is difficult. It's very, very difficult for us as a home group to find speakers. So we almost, I told someone earlier, I think I told Gail, that we had to lower our standard. We didn't compromise our integrity. We lowered our standard a little bit, that if we got a speaker, that at least they would do the research necessary to be able to give us the facts about the concept so that we could know it, so that we could practice it in our home group. And that's what we do. We've had folks sign our home group book and come to a home group meeting, and there'll be a topic for a new reading that we want to add, or we ran into some problems and we cast a vote. Well, this is something that's going on. We discuss it and group conscious speaks, so let's vote on it. And this just recently happened, and the guy's been sober about 4 years, and he said, man, I thank you guys so much for letting me be a part. I've been sober 4 years. I never got an opportunity to vote in a home group. So I was like, I don't understand. I've not been sober long enough to know any other way. These are the ways that I was taught. So when I hear about some of these other ways, I just don't know. I don't have experience with that. So we try to take the traditions, and we try to take what we learn in the concepts. Like one of the things is a right of decision, or the we anoint you, or not anoint you, but if we if you get voted and you get nominated for a position, then we trust you with the authority to make decisions. We learned that from a concept speaker. So today, an example of that from our home group. Our home group is 2 years old. This is our second conference. We nominated Javier to do the kitchen. So sure, I got ideas, and sure, he got ideas, and everybody got ideas. But we gave Javier the authority to make a decision in the kitchen. And as you can see, it worked out perfectly. We had dinner. It was like a family in here. We had a family sitting dinner for everybody. And it just was powerful. The principles and the group conscience. I've not always agreed on everything that we've had in group conscience. And the minority in our home group always gets to say so. Why don't you vote with us? It could be one. We've not yet experienced that one where the whole thing turns over yet, but we have heard our minority and why they didn't. That's something that's valuable to us because it's the principles that were given to us to do this a certain way so that we don't mess it up. Alcoholics Anonymous is very important to me. I got sober in the abandoned basement. I didn't mean to come to AA. And I came here and my life changed. My life changed. I've got my family back. You guys see my little girl running around helping today? That's a miracle. I was given custody of my daughter when I was 1 year sober, and we've been together ever since. So I get to coach little girls softball. I'm busy all the time doing stuff, but alcohol, had not been for the power of God given to me through these suggestions in Alcoholics Anonymous, this wouldn't happen to me. So I value deeply the principles of these traditions, and I want to know more. I want to know more. The trouble with that is it's not popular. And there's a struggle sometimes. I want you to like me, but man, this gives me my life back. So what do I got to choose? The principles. And we've had some struggles and trials, even with our own inner group. as far as doing what we've been doing. But thanks to, you know, I get lonely, I can pull up a Gary Brown tape online and hear that. You know what I mean? I'll call Jack. I'll hear these other guys that come from that, some way, shape, or form, that Denver Young People's Group. And hear those guys talk about the primary purpose and, you know, these things that don't work for me that I hear so much in Alcoholics Anonymous that I don't understand, but I get to hear them say it and validate it in me. And I get to share that with my guys, and it makes us a family. It's a powerful fellowship of the Spirit. I won't keep you guys. Thank you so much. I love you.